Hello, testing. We're just going to give the ladies a few more minutes to leave and get. So if you need to use the restroom real quick, we're going to give you a few minutes to go do that, and we'll start in a few more minutes. Welcome, ladies. How you doing? Everybody's been enjoying summer in the sun? You've been having a good time this summer? It's been a little bit different, huh? It's been different, but it's good to have change. It's good to have change, because sometimes if it's the same thing, we just get kind of bored of that. So it's good to do a little change in the summertime. As well as the winter, you know, we have our little Thanksgiving and our expos for Christmas and stuff like that. But anyways... how many of you have been coming regularly to this session? To this session, the getting out of reverse. Okay, a lot of you. Most of you have. Okay. You've been getting some good food? Are you practicing it? Okay, I taught a couple weeks ago on low self-esteem, and I gave you some homework. How many of you have been doing it? Good. Are you feeling better? You're looking in the mirror and telling yourself who you are in Christ? Remember, I gave you those scripture verses. I'm going to pass out some more this week, okay? But good, I'm glad to hear that some of you are doing the homework, and I encourage all of you to do that. So anyways, let's go ahead and let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercies. You are a good God. You are a just God. Thank you for your beautiful daughters who are here, dear God, who are getting out of reverse, dear God. They're getting unstuck, Lord. They're moving on to their destiny and the promises that you have for them and the gifts and the dreams, dear God. They're taking them back, and I thank you, Jesus, for that. Just use me, dear God. I am your servant. I am your vessel, and I humbly submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. It's such an honor to be able to speak to you this morning. I just find it such a great privilege to be able to be the one to be up here. I know I don't take it lightly. You know, when they ask me, you know, I don't speak very often, and when I do, I take it very seriously. but I just thank you so much for allowing me to speak into your lives. You know, so let's do a little bit reviewing, kind of freshen up our minds. The majority of you have been coming regularly, and I'm so happy about that, because I want you to break free, to just like our Breaking Free class. You got to, get these things off and moving forward. And some of the things that we're talking about are infirmities and the strongholds that have been keeping us bound and keeping us stuck, right? And keeping us, instead of going forward, taking us back, and how the devil has been using these things against us, stealing our dreams through low self-esteem. He's stealing our dreams and letting us feel like we're worthless, you know, and we're buying it, and a lot of us have bought into that. I mean, I know I'm guilty of it, you know, and not fulfilling my destiny, keeping me from doing things that I've wanted to do. But thank the Lord that I'm breaking free of that, and I'm breaking those strongholds that were built up from childhood. You know, sometimes I even spoke about in the womb, you could have that spirit of rejection just put on you, you know, from a mother that maybe didn't want you. I even know somebody who tried to abort her baby, and her baby survived. And her daughter, and how her daughter had to break free from that root of rejection, and the mother had to forgive herself. But anyways, thank God for that. God is merciful and good. And then last week, didn't Pastor Sue do an amazing job last week on perfectionism? Yes, she talked about perfectionism. She explained it and how she even became an overachiever. Remember, she was saying that because she was brought up in a big family, and you know, her parents were always seemed like it was never good enough, and so she always wanted to be noticed and always was trying to get their approval, and so she was always trying really hard in that perfectionism. You know what I mean? You never feel like you're quite good enough. You feel like you fall short. And she even brought the example of Pastor Sue about the carrot dangling before the donkey. Have you ever seen that little kind of example? And the donkey's chasing after it, but the donkey never gets it, does he? And that's kind of the personality of the perfectionist, is just, you just never quite feel like you're good enough. You're always critiquing yourself. You become very judgmental, especially towards yourself, but even to others. And we could be very hard to live with, the perfectionists, you know, the ones that have to have it just right, you know. And so thank the Lord that we're breaking free from that, right? We're breaking off that spirit of perfectionism, low self-esteem. And today we're going to get into depression. But there's something that ties all these three together, the low self-esteem, the perfectionism, and the depression. And that is that worthlessness, that spirit of inadequacy. You know, I'm not good enough. You know, that's something that ties all these together. They kind of come together. You know, a lot of these three things, main things, do. But we learned, and Pastor Deborah brought it at the beginning, was that the truth of the cross is Jesus. Jesus, the kinsman redeemer, and how he came and he died for our sins. He paid the price because he knew what sin can do and how Satan doesn't play fair. And he don't care if you're a little kid and you're innocent and pure, and he wants to mess you up as young as you can. And he's done a pretty good job with some of us. But you know what? Now's the time to say, shut up, devil, right? And go back to where you came from. So the truth of the cross is that Jesus is a kinsman redeemer. And like Pastor Deborah said, he redeemed us, he's reconciled us, and he's restored us. And every week we've been going over that, and we're going to continue to go through that process. But today we're going to explain a little bit about depression and overcoming depression. What does it look like? Okay, and just to start off, you know, I'm not a doctor. That's Dr. Vanessa. If you guys have heard Dr. Vanessa, she has the degree in being a doctor. I'm not. I know what I got information, you know, from just research, looking on the website and getting the definitions. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, so don't say, Joanna diagnosed me as I'm depressed. And so No. I am not diagnosing you. I'm just letting you know the information that I'm collecting. So I'm passing it on to you so that you can have knowledge. Okay? So what does it look like? Depression. This is from the dictionary. A sense of inadequacy and a despondent lack of activity. Sad feelings of gloom and, again, inadequacy. Humiliation and lowness. So these are a few things that defines depression. We're going to kind of go through some more later. But many Christians believe that because they are Christians, they shouldn't feel depressed. You know, and we feel like, you know, if we're getting depressed, and sometimes we beat ourselves up for that. You know, gosh, why am I so discouraged? Why am I feeling this way? I shouldn't, you know, I just was in church last night. I was at girlfriend's yesterday, you know, or the day before. And, you know, I should be full of encouragement. And you know what? You got to stop beating yourself up, because you know what? We are humans. We live in a fallen world, and things can get us down, but we don't got to stay down. We can get back up where God has intended us for us to be. And there are many Christians who have battled depression, and we have some examples here in the Bible. And I'm going to share those with you today, a few of them. I'm going to share a few. There's more than what I'm going to share. But the first one I'm going to share is David, King David, the man after God's own heart. Can you believe that he suffered from depression and discouragement? And there was times when he was really low. Well, you know what? He had a lot of opposition. He had a lot of things coming against him. For one thing, he had the king and his whole army coming up against him. I mean, gosh, that could be pretty discouraging. He wasn't just up to, you know, going to arrest him. He was going to kill him. I mean, so if you had someone after you trying to kill you all the time, and you had to keep on running and running, and you got your wife taken away and given to some other man. That'd get bum me out pretty well. So Psalms 42:5. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to it. Or are we also going to have it on the screen? But, you know, if you got your Bibles, turn to it. You know, practice finding your scriptures. And we're going to read verse 5 first. And there's many scriptures in the Psalms. I love the Psalms because it goes into the heart of David, you know, and he really shares his heart. And he doesn't hold anything back. This is his journaling. If you've been through Breaking Free, you know about journaling and how we encourage you to journal every day. Get those feelings out. Share your heart with God and get them on paper. This is exactly what David is, and this is what Psalms is. And some of these Psalms are very encouraging, and he exhorts and he encourages himself continually. And some of them, you could feel his pain and his weariness and his discouragement and his depression. And this is just a few scriptures, and there's many more in here. If you read the book of Psalms, you'll see them. And 42:5, it says right here, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He's talking to himself. You know, some people say you talk to yourself, you're crazy. But you know what? We know David wasn't crazy. And sometimes we gotta talk to ourselves and encourage ourselves, huh? But anyways, it says right here, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" He's discouraged, he's down. But then he comes and he encourages himself. "But hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." So he's hoping in God. He's encouraged, even though he's depressed and he's feeling discouraged and he's feeling low, he is hoping in God. And if we look up a few more scriptures, you know, that same chapter, 42, verse 3, here he talks about his tears. And he says, "My tears have been my food day and night." So he hasn't even been eating. He's just been crying and just going through hard times. And this is a strong warrior man, okay? David was no wimp. He killed Goliath. He fought with the sword. He killed many men. He was a warrior. But yet, he cried. That's the points that he got to where he didn't care what people thought about him. And he just cried day and night, just, you know. Maybe some of you have been there, and you know how that feels to be in that place of depression and discouragement, you know, and that's exactly where David was at that time. But you know what? The good thing about it is that he didn't stay there because he trusted in God, and he held on to God and his promises and his word, and he said, "God, help me. Deliver me. Don't let my enemies take me out, God." And he would cry out to him. And in the Psalms, you'll read that. And God would always came to his rescue. And God always gave him the strength to carry on. Because what? David never gave up. He never lost his hope in God. So let's move on to signs of major depression. Okay? Again, I'm not a doctor. I got this online. These are the different signs of major depression, okay? So this is significant, okay, this is significant weight loss or weight gain. Significant increase or decrease in appetite. Excessive sleepiness or insomnia. So that means you either sleep all the time or you don't sleep at all. Been there. Agitation and restlessness. Fatigue or loss of energy nearly every day. Fatigue or loss of energy nearly every day. Feelings of worthlessness or excessive guilt nearly every day. Diminished ability to think, concentrate, or make decisions. Recurrent thoughts of death or suicide. So this is, again, I'm talking about depression. There's different forms of depression, and we're going to talk more into that a little bit later. But this is the definitions that they have for a major depression. Excuse me. So point 2 is, what could bring on depression? What could bring on depression? A loss. It could be a divorce, a broken relationship, you know, breaking up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, someone that you've been very close to, even a girlfriend, you know, just a friendship, a really close friendship that you've, and it's somehow it's just didn't work out with your friendship. She got offended with you and you really were close to her. That could lead to depression. A death in the family can lead to depression. Stress, financial problems, sickness. When people get sick and, you know, they're diagnosed with cancer or something like that. You know, a couple weeks ago we saw the video on Nick and how he suffered with depression. You know, he was born without arms and legs. He had no arms and legs. And how he, at 8 years old, was wanting to kill himself and thought about it and tried it a couple times but couldn't go through with it. Thank the Lord, because now he's being used in a mighty way, preaching the gospel. And then I have also genetic makeup and chemical imbalance. Genetic makeup is, you know, to kind of explain that, it's like you got the different personalities. We all come with different personalities, and there's the bubbly type. Are you the bubbly type? Well, you know, like, oh, it's half. Oh, yeah, you know. How do they say the glass is half full? And then you got the people, the glass is half empty. You know, you got the. And I've also heard it as the Eeyore complex. You know, have you ever seen Winnie the Pooh? You know, Eeyore is the donkey that, oh my gosh, woe is me. Where I lost my tail again. Oh my gosh. You know, Eeyore. And then Tigger is the bouncy, you know, he bounces on his tail and he's like, oh, and I forget how he talks, but he's always like, bibbidi bee, and bidi ba. And he's like, you know, and I guess your kids are, you still have kids that watch Winnie the Pooh? Some of you. But anyways, all your kids are grown up. Huh? Yes, thank Jesus. Hallelujah. But anyways, so you know that you know, and so we have different, we're born with different personalities. So some tend to be a little bit more naturally on the more pessimistic side, and you know, and so we got that to deal with, you know, but God is good and God can help you through that. And it all ends up working out. And there's also the chemical imbalance side. And the chemical imbalance is the side where there's, and it's also genetic, it could be passed down, but that's where it's clinically, like they call it clinical depression. It's something that's, maybe your mom suffered from depression. It could be bipolar, these kind of schizophrenia, those kind of stuff that is genetic and is passed down. So that's the clinical side. And I asked my son Jacob if I can kind of share what he has gone through, because and he said, yes, Mom, you can, you know, because I wouldn't have shared this if he didn't allow me to. But my son Jacob is the one that I mentioned a few weeks ago when we're talking about low self-esteem and how the Lord brought him into my life as a foster child. You know, I was a foster mom, and I took him in at 3 years old, and he was emotionally broken. And there was a lot of needs in Jacob's life. He had been placed in we were his seventh placement in 9 months. He was taken away at 2 years old from his biological mother, who suffered from mental, you know, bipolar, and she was an alcoholic, and she took drugs to kind of help her, you know, trying to solve her issues through those ways, and it wasn't working. And she got her kids taken away because she was neglecting them. And so Jacob was taken away at 2 years old, and so after seventh different placements, we were his seventh one in 9 months. So he'd been through a lot already, his short little life that he was with. And he was like nonstop, you know, and they were looking for a family that only had no children, because he was being abusive to the other children, because he was acting out in anger because he was dealing with so much, and he would even crawl into the cribs and bite the babies of the homes that he was in. So they were looking for someone. We didn't have kids. I always say that the Lord closed my womb and he opened my heart bigger so that I could love and reach out and to love the ones that God wanted to love, you know. wanted me to love. And so I took in Jacob, and it has never been, it's always been, you know, a battle. Jacob has always had these struggles, but I've never, you know, God has always given me the strength not to give up. When he didn't let, well, of course I wanted to give up my testimony 2 weeks ago, you know, but he didn't let me. And so after that, I was like, I'm never giving up because God is my strength and my hope. Well, Jacob started taking medication at 4 years old. So that whole year, I struggled with Jacob, you know, and he was, you know, he was so cute. He had these big green eyes and this blonde hair, and just, you just look at him and think he's the cutest kid, but spend 10 minutes with him and you're like, oh my God, you know. He was nonstop. He had to stop, touch everything, and, you know, and but it wasn't his fault. You know, he was born with that chemical imbalance. There was a short circuit, you know, kind of like picture your TV and your VCR and your, if they're not hooked up right, it's not going to work. Even though those are all functional, but if they're not hooked up right, if the connector isn't connecting and that circuit isn't connecting, there's something missing and it needs help. Someone needs to come along that knows how to do it and connect the right wires and do this and that. And so this is what happened with Jacob. And I remember my mom was like, oh, you got to, you know, you can't, you know, you got to believe in God. And I said, Mom, this kid needs help. He goes every day and he gets in trouble at school. He gets told he's bad. He gets put in the corner and he's always in trouble because he cannot control his impulses. You know, the first thing is he hits first and then afterwards, oh, what did I do? You know what I mean? He doesn't, you know, it's like, it doesn't think, it wasn't clicking, it was disconnected, the circuit. So I remember that after he started taking the medication and we had to work with it, you know, we had to find the right medication that worked with him. Oh my gosh. It was like a different child. You know, he started actually getting along with the kids, playing nice, getting good reports back. And then my mom, that was very negative about me putting him on medication, was like, if she watched him for me, don't forget to send his medication. And she was the one that was, no, you gotta believe her, you know. And of course I was believing for God's healing, and I'm still believing for God's healing. So Jacob had to struggle with that his whole life, always taking medication, but he did well in school. He graduated from high school, got good grades. You know, he even got, they were going to send him off to college and help him and pay his, you know, tuition and his things. And of course, you know, they become, and they're like, no, I don't want to go to college. I don't want to do that. And, you know, he didn't want to take his medication anymore either. Turned 18, not going to take it. Started going out and doing things he shouldn't be doing. And started taking drugs to try to feel, because of course he was feeling that anxiety, that depression was coming on him. Those feelings, so he was trying to take other stuff to feel that, you know, alcohol, pot. He started, you know, well, thank God he wasn't doing that for long. And he ended up going into a men's home and got off those drugs because he almost overdosed. And praying, mothers, don't give up. God covers them with those prayers. You know, I never gave up praying for him. I didn't allow him to do that in my home. I had to tell him, you're going to do that. You're not doing this here. And he had to leave, and it's hard. It's hard when you don't know what your kids are doing out there, but you trust them in God. And when you got God, you trust them. And I trust God because my word of God says that God will never fail me. He will watch over my kids. I pray, Lord, put that hedge of protection. So during that time, Jacob struggled. He struggled for 5 years. 5 years going from place to place, on medication, off medication, on medication. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you are going through this with a child or even with yourself, dividing within yourself. You feel guilty that you have to take medication. Don't. God loves you. God gave us doctors for a reason. Anyway, so Jacob is, you know, last year was Jacob's toughest year. And they diagnosed him with bipolar and some other mental issues. And he was struggling with depression. And 3-4 times he ended up at the mental hospital last year. And he was in homes that said, oh, you don't need that medication. He would get up the medication, he would start doing better. Oh, you don't need it anymore. Stop taking it. He'd get depressed again. Felt like killing himself, go into the mental hospital. And I would tell them he needs, there was a chemical. They didn't understand what I was trying to tell them. Sometimes we could get so religious that we don't listen to knowledge, the knowledge of the doctors. And God gave us those doctors. He gave us wisdom. And so I'm telling you that, you know, Jacob is back home now. He's willing to take his medication, and he's doing good right now. He's at the FDC volunteering. He's in church every service, and praise the Lord that I'm believing that depression is going to completely leave him, and he's back on the right track. That's the important thing. So praise the Lord for that. So again, that was the example of the chemical imbalance. Okay. Major depression affects 14.8 million adults in the United States. So if you are suffering from depression right now, you are not alone. Do you know that they were saying that by the year 2020, that the second disability is going to be depression? That's what they're saying. The studies are showing that. 30,000 people die of suicide in one year here in the United States alone. That's not in other countries, okay? But here in the United States alone, 30,000 people die of suicide. That's one is too many, let alone 30,000. To get to that point, they have lost all hope. They are tired. They are weary. They have lost all hope. And I'm going to, let's turn to 1 Kings 19:4. And this is an example of a man of God that got to that point where he said, Lord, take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Just kill me off. Come on, let's just do it. I want to rather be with you. How many of you have ever thought that? I know I've been there. But, and that's 1 Kings 19:4. Elijah, the prophet, the man of God. I mean, gosh, a man of God wanted to die? Yes. Prophet, the man of God, the one that talked to the kings, the king was like the president. You know, he had contact with the king all the time, telling him what the Lord was saying. He talked to the elite people. He talked to everyone, but he was rubbing elbows with the elite. He was on the top, Elijah. He just wasn't just anybody. He prayed and people got healed. You know, here comes Elijah. And you know, the Jezebel was the queen there, the evil queen. And she was killing all the prophets of God. Because, of course, they were prophesying about all the bad stuff that's going to happen to her. She's like, I'm killing them off, you know. Well, Elijah, you know, didn't, you know, I guess he was hiding. She didn't get to him, and Elijah challenged the priest of Baal, you know, the prophets of Baal, you know, the fake god, and he challenged them. I'm going to challenge you guys. Let's see who's the real God. You guys know that story? And so they're like, okay, come on, do your altar, and let's see who could bring fire from heaven, and whoever does, that's the real God. So the Baal priests and the prophet, they're over there, you know, oh, please, and praying to their fake god. Of course, he didn't do anything because he's not a god. There was no god. He was fake. They made him. They cut themselves all day for hours and hours and hours, and there's Elijah making fun of them, saying, oh, maybe he's taking a nap. Scream a little bit louder. And they were, you know, screaming louder. They took his advice. It didn't work because, of course, he wasn't a real God. And then Elijah gets up there. Okay, I'm tired of this. You had your time. It's my turn. He gets up there and he pours. He tells them, pour water, pour water, pour water on these cows or whatever they were, ox, bulls, whatever. And pour water and pour water and pour water. And then he says, God, show them who you are. He didn't even have to pray long. And boom. The fire came and burned the whole altar. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know. And then Elijah and he got some other people to help him. They killed all those prophets. Yeah, and then Jezebel heard about it and got mad. And after all that, man, Elijah's pumped up. You know, he's like full of the Holy Spirit. He's pumped up. He's like, he outran a chariot, you know? He's like, is the rain coming? Is the rain? Let's outrun, you know, we better get undercover. And he outran the horses. That's how fast he was, full of energy, full of the power of God. That mighty man of God. Let's read what happened to him. He's all energized, just had a triumphal entry, a triumphal victory in 19:4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And this is after he found out Jezebel was going to kill him. He got all scared. Boy, women, we must have some power, huh? It's like that one woman said, I'm going to kill you. And he took off running. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He was so discouraged. He just had a victory. You think he'd be like on cloud head, you know, just like, well, yeah. You know, he was down. First of all, he was exhausted. You know, he did a lot of work. It took a lot of spiritual warfare to pray and to kill those fake prophets and do what he did. He was down. And he didn't eat. He didn't sleep. And the Lord, it also says that the Lord ministered to him because he was so discouraged. He wanted to die. The Lord had to minister to him and take care of him. Feed him. He sent the ravens to, I mean, my gosh, you know, he had the connections with God. You know, God sent him the birds to feed him. There was a brook there that he drank from. And God had to take him to a quiet place where he could get renourished, get restored, a quiet place for restoration and to get his strength back and to get that encouragement back. You know, my grandmother, I'm going to share a testimony about my grandmother. She's no longer with us, but she lived 99 years. 99 years. She passed away a few years ago. But anyways, my grandmother, she was a young woman, and she married somebody that was about 15 years older than her. And he was an alcoholic and a womanizer. But of course, she wasn't happy in her own situation, you know, and her father had committed suicide when he found out that he had lung cancer and he was suffering a lot. So that would be my great-grandfather killed himself with a gun. And so they struggled. They struggled. And so she went to live with a sister, and her sister was abusive and mean to her. And so she just wanted out. So she went and got married, thought that was the answer. And my grandfather, you know, was alcoholic and a womanizer, you know, and then she was pregnant, had about 2 or 3 kids at this time. They were all little. And my grandmother just got to that point of hopelessness, you know, that point of, I don't want to do this anymore. She got to the low of her lows, and she wasn't a Christian. She knew there was a God because she remembers her dad reading the Bible and talking about God. And she would go to Catholic church once in a while, you know, but she didn't have that relationship. She was already planning to take her life, and she's like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to the priest, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness before I kill myself, because she wants to make sure she made it to heaven. And so she went to the priest, and she asked the priest to forgive her, and the priest said, no, I don't forgive your sins. Thank the Lord, you know, God had the priest do that. And the reason why he didn't forgive her, she says, I know it was because I didn't kiss his ring. She goes, because I thought to myself, why do I have to kiss his ring? He's just a man. You know? My grandmother was also a little bit rebellious. She's a feisty woman. So anyway, so she was so distraught because, she even felt worse now, you know, like, the priest won't forgive me. What am I going to do? So she went home, and she told me this story over and over. I love to hear the story, you know, because it has a good outcome. And she said that she cried out to God because she knew there was a God. She cried out to him and said, God, God, why won't the priest forgive me? Is it because I didn't want to kiss his ring? What do I got to do? What do? I'm so unhappy. I just want to die, just like Elijah. Just want to die. So tired of fighting with my grandfather and him being unfaithful to her. And she just, her having three little ones and then having to work. And just she just got worn out. And she said she had an encounter with God that changed everything. She said that the ceiling opened up and a light came down. And she felt the presence of God just come upon her and tell her, don't give up. There's hope. Just gave her that strength. And she knew it was God. She knew it was God. You know what? So she got enough strength to kick my grandpa out. She said, you get out. I'm tired of it. This is not going to happen anymore. She got value in who she was. She realized, you know, I'm more than this. She got value. So she kicked my grandpa out. My grandpa went and looking for a place to rent, and he rented a room from an elderly woman that was a Christian. And she took my grandpa to church. And guess what? My grandpa got saved. Yay! And this is without my grandma having to do anything. She just said, get out. And then she just prayed to God. And then my grandpa started coming around and talking to my grandmother and say, come on, come to this church. Come visit. Ah, get out of here. She just didn't want nothing to do with him. She was so mad. But he'd go back. You know, God was changing my grandfather's heart. He was changing him. And then he realized how much he loved my grandmother. You know, but he was hurt. He was wounded too. And you know what? After a time, my grandmother started going to church with him. They got back together. They started taking the family together. You know, my grandmother, she ended up getting her nursing degree and ended up ministering to the women in the hospitals. And during that time, there was the tuberculosis, you know, where people were dying. And so she started, you know, just praying for them, leading them to the Lord. My grandfather, God was changing my grandfather. About 10, 15 years later, they ended up being missionaries in Mexico. And so tell me, she wanted to take her life. She cried out to God and had an encounter. Some of you here need an encounter with God. You need to get desperate before the Lord and say, God, where are you? Help me. You got to get tired of being tired. You got to say, I want to change. I don't want to continue this way. I deserve better. Because God wants better for you. He wants more for you. He wants you to be victorious. They went to Mexico. My grandfather turned into the Latino John the Baptist. Because that was my grandpa's name, John. And oh my gosh, I have videos of my grandfather. You know, they're not videos, they're like project. It's like film, it's like the projector, you know, those black and white ones. The old ones. And I see hundreds of people lined up in my grandfather in a river baptizing. Here was the alcoholic, the womanizer. God changed him from the inside out. And I don't know my grandfather as an alcoholic and a womanizer. I know him as the wonderful grandfather, always loving and happy and helping people. Helping people. Because God is a God of change. He's a healer. He can do all things. God is the cure. Point three is God is the cure. When I was looking this information up on the website, and it said, cure for depression, unknown. There's things to help. We can help you. But it said, unknown. I go, they don't know my God then. They don't know the power that he has, that he's bigger than this depression. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the commercials. There's some commercials that come on, and they just kind of aggravate me. But it's about a medication that will help a little bit. They have a cloud over this cartoon character, you know, the clouds following this cartoon character, and she's all like, they talk about depression. And then they say, well, this medication can help, but the cloud never goes away. It's just kind of like at a distant. Have you seen that commercial? I'm like, the commercial just makes me so sad because I'm like, God could come and take that cloud away. God could come and bring the sun and bring the light and bring the change. And that cloud just, it's just always there, just waiting to come back. It's like, can I come back yet? Can I come back? Just waiting to come back. But not with God. God. When you got God on your side, you can overcome all things. You can overcome all things. But first, you have to acknowledge it. Okay? You got to stop denying that you are struggling with some depression. And you need to do something about it, okay? You need to do something about it. I mean, if you are struggling with a major depression, if you got like all those things on that line and you're really struggling, you need to see a doctor. You need to come and make an appointment with the pastor and get some guidance. You don't stay, if you're having thoughts of suicide and you're planning to get some help, ask for help. Because there's hope in God. There's hope. You cannot lose that hope. There's hope in Jesus. You got to know that God is bigger than your depression. You got to know he's bigger. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to encourage yourself in the word. You got to get into the word. You got to get into church. And you got to do something about it. You can't just stay home and be depressed and lock yourself up. You got to do something about it. You know, my father passed away about 4 years ago. And there was a lot that hit me at one time. Within 3 or 4 months, I had like 4 deaths in the family. My uncle passed away. And in November, he got hit by a car. And these are close relatives, you know, my first uncle, my dad's brother. And then after that, a few months later after that, my Uncle John passed away. He was sick. He was elderly. And then my aunt died a week out. His wife died like 2 weeks later. And then a month later, my father died. And that was a doozy for me. It hit me like I didn't think it would hit me. You know, I loved my dad. He was a wonderful dad. He was a pastor. He was a good dad. Wasn't a perfect dad, you know. But he was a good man. He was a man of God. And I loved him very much. And the loss of his death really took me in. And I must have went through 6 months of depression. It kind of just took me for a woozy. Because then I also had to help my mother. And there was change. She's, you know, helping her and the stress of that. So there was stress of that. And there was a lot going on, financial problems where I was going through this time. You know, some of those things on the list, what can cause depression. Well, I had some of those things. And I just remember when I was going through this time, I was like, where are you, God? Are you even there? Do you even care? You're too busy. You're too busy. You know, just, and I hear I've been a Christian all my life, born and raised in church. And I've been through, you know, battles before, but this one was a little bit different. And I know I was grieving the loss of my father, but in there, in that mix, was that depression, just not wanting to be with people. Just want to stay home. You know, I just don't want to really talk to people. And you know, and my friends are being nice, and they're sending food over, and I'm thankful for that. But then everybody gets busy, and I don't want to return phone calls, and just want to be left alone. And I just remember, you know, just getting to that place where are you? Are you even here? And the Lord gave me this scripture in Psalms 139. Because I had to get up and I had to encourage myself I knew I had to get up. You know, I had to go to work. I didn't want to go to work. I got pushed. My husband said, "You got to go to work. You got to get up." You know. And had to get back into the things of, you know, into life. And when I was saying, God, that morning when I was saying, where are you, God? Do you even care? God gave me the scripture. I opened up the Psalms and I went to the scripture without even knowing what the scripture was going to say to me. And I said, I need to hear from you, God. I need to hear from you. I cried out to God and said, I need to hear from you. And he says, the word said, and this is what God told me, where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. God told me, I'm with you. And with this scripture, he told me, you may not feel me, but I'm here. And I'm holding you in my arms. And I'm leading. You may not see that I'm leading you. You don't even realize it because you're so full of grief. You're so full of your sadness and your loneliness. But I'm closer to you. I'm close. I'm holding you. You're not alone. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm telling you right now that if you're feeling alone and lonely and you're at that point of hopelessness, that you're not alone. That God is with you every moment. He's there holding you, guiding you. Don't give up. You can't go by your feelings. You can't live by how you feel. You got to go by what the Word of God says. He says he's with you. And Isaiah 60, let's turn to Isaiah 60. Verse 1 and 2. And this is one of the days I'm like, I just want to be in bed all day. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, I don't even want to get up. And it's sometimes we just feel like that just because we're lazy, you know. But this wasn't one of those days. This is one of the days I didn't want to give up because I was depressed. I just wanted to forget about life. I just wanted, Lord, I just want to check out. I just want to just let me sleep. Let me just dream. Maybe I'll dream a good dream. And this is what God told me. He says, you know, if you can't stay in bed, you need to get up. I opened my Bible again. I had to push myself. You got to push yourself to do this stuff, okay? The Bible doesn't just jump on your lap, okay? You got to go to the Word. You got to open it up, and you got to read it. 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine. Oh, no. I was going to read it out of the Message Bible. Because I like the way it says in the Message Bible better. I think we have the Message Bible up on top on the screen. It says, get out of bed, Jerusalem. But I put my name on there, okay? So it's like, get out of bed, Joanna. That's what God told me. So put your name in there, okay? Just write the scripture down because you need to, when you don't feel like getting out of bed and you feel discouraged, let God tell you this. And this is what God told me that day, that I just wanted to stay in bed. He said, get out of bed, Joanna. Wake up. Put your face in the sunlight, for God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people sunk in deep darkness, but God rises on you. His sunrise, glory breaks over you. I'm like, oh God, thank you, Jesus. I read this scripture and I just thanked him. I just started praising him. I just started thanking him because you know what? That's how much God loves you. That he gives you a new day. The sun rises for you. Take it personal. This is for you. that his bright glory has risen for you. And that even though the whole earth and people are going through so many different things and the world is going through hell, sunk in deep darkness, God rises for you and the sun glory breaks over you, it says. So what does that mean? I got to get up and I got to get out. I can't stay home and feel sorry for myself anymore. I got to get up and let that sun bring me some healing. I'm talking about the physical sun too. Jesus the sun, but also the physical sun. We need to take walks. And I'm going to get into that right now. Into how to take care of the physical. How do we take care of the physical? Well, first we got to get out, right? Get out on the sun. Go for walks. Got to rest like Elijah had to rest. He got physically exhausted. He had to eat. You got to eat right. You got to eat. You got to make sure you're eating right. If you're not eating, then you're not going to be feeling good because you need food. Healthy food, though. Not all the junk food. Like, I like junk food. Anyways, but I like good food, too. So we got to exercise. Oh, my gosh, I'm a Zumba backslider. Okay, I was doing really good. I lost some weight. You know, I'm like, oh, I love the Zumba. I felt good. I was sleeping better. Well, these last 3 months, I haven't gone to Zumba. I've been so busy. And you know what? I haven't been sleeping as good. So you know what? I'm going to Zumba tonight. Because, you know, that exercise, and it just really helps. I could tell the difference. I gained 5 pounds back. I'm like, oh, Lord. Well, probably more, but I don't want to get on the scale. I'm like, I don't want to get on that scale. But I could feel it in my clothes. That's why I'm wearing a loose dress today. It's okay. So anyways, these are just the basic things that we need to do, you know? We need to get a hobby, some kind of a hobby. Some people like to bike ride. Some people like to make things with their hands. Do you know that makes you feel better when you create something with your hands? Some people like to paint. If you don't know how a hobby, you know, go to a class that can teach you a hobby. You know, that you could feel. Some people bake. Baking's good. Cooking, you accomplish something. You make something and you serve and you help others. You got to know your limitations, okay? You got to know, some of you have too much on your plate. You're trying to save the world and you're dying inside. You're trying to help everybody and their grandma, and then you're like falling apart. Like, oh, everybody's coming to you. Oh, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And you're just taking everybody's burdens, and you're falling apart and getting depressed. Know your limitations. Yes, it's good to help others, but you gotta have balance. You gotta have healthy boundaries. You know, your brothers and sisters. Oh, can you babysit? Can you do this? Can you wash my clothes? Oh, no, you go wash your own clothes. You go clean your own house. It's okay to say no. Don't be that overachiever, that people pleaser. Know your limitations. And you gotta laugh. You gotta laugh. You gotta take time to enjoy life and laugh. Let's turn to Proverbs 17:22. Okay, Proverbs 17:22. Let me see. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Could kill you. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. Wants to take you out. Wants you to be depressed. But a merry heart does good like medicine. So it's good to laugh. It's good to be around people that are funny, huh? They can make you laugh. And don't you like to be around happy people that are funny and like to joke around? That's why I fall in love with my husband, because he was funny. But sometimes he gets on my nerves, though, but because he's always cracking jokes. I'm like, okay, that's enough now. No, but he makes me laugh. I love my husband. He makes me laugh. And that helps me because it's medicine to the bone. And so I brought a little video. It's nothing spiritual, you know. But it's funny. A couple little short videos. It's just real short. And don't get offended. You know, this it's Angela Johnson. Anybody has seen Angela Johnson? She is so funny. And she imitates people. She's really good at voices and stuff like that. And so I'm going to show her. I'm going to have her just do 5 minutes of laughing, okay? Go ahead and can you get that? Turn off the lights. Thank you, Sylvia.
I go to church. Anybody else here go to church? Anybody go to church here? Mostly the front. The back don't want to go to heaven. That's okay. One thing they talk about at church is gossiping, how gossiping is bad. Don't do it. Nothing good comes from it. But I like how some people in the church like to disguise their gossiping as a prayer request. There's always that one girl that's like, come on, you guys, circle up. We need to pray. We need to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just pray for Tanya right now. Because I don't know if anybody here knows this, but she is pregnant. And Lord, we know that you are a mighty, powerful God, and you can show her who the Father is. And I trust that what happens in the prayer circle stays in the prayer circle. Nobody goes blabbing their mouth. Cindy, someone come pray with us? We're praying for Tanya because you're pregnant. You don't want to pray? Okay, that's fine. You pray for Cindy because you're probably pregnant too. I'm Angela Johnson. Thank you so much.
No, but I like to hang out with my family a lot, hang out with my sister. We go get our nails done. Any ladies in here get your nails done? Nice. Honest crowd. How about any guys? Any guys down for mani pedi? Don't lie. Sir, don't lie. Don't lie. I can see your nail polish gleaming in the light right now. Don't lie. It's all sparkly. You take him with you, huh? Yeah, see? She ratted you out, dude. I'm just kidding. No, me and my sister, we go over, it's a place called Beautiful Nail. I was kind of confused when I first read the sign, though. Beautiful Nail. Just one. Just one nail. Do I get to pick which one? Or... No. Now, with these ladies, they're so nice. You know, they make you feel like it's all about you and customer service. You know, whatever you lie, we do for you. Yeah. Really nice, yeah. As soon as I walk in, they greet me right away. Hi, honey, what you need today? Can I get my nails done? Okay, honey, do you lie pedicure too? No, just my nails. Honey, why you don't lie? Pedicure, it may look nice, it's so sexy. It's better for you. Oh, all right, sure, then I'll get a pedicure too, thanks. Okay, honey, sit down, I'ma sick my ling, she do for you, good job. Only $20 more, that's okay, sit down. Oh, okay, thanks. So my ling starts doing my nails right away. By the way, her American name is Tammy. Tammy. You have boyfriend? No, I don't have a boyfriend. Honey, why you don't have? You look so pretty, like model. Cheerleader, something pretty. You like long or short nail? Short nails, please, thanks. Oh, honey, that's why you don't have a boyfriend. I do for you, long better. All right, fine, I'll have long nails, thanks. It's okay, honey, only $4 more, that's okay. Do you like crypto gel? What? Do you like crypto gel? I'm sorry, what? Honey, do you like crystal gel for your nail? It's the best thing you can have for your nail. Make look nice. It sparkle like diamond in the sky. Do you like crystal gel? No, I don't want crystal that. Thanks. Honey, you say to me you do not have boyfriend. I don't want to help you. Oh, okay, fine. I'll have some. Thank you. It's okay. It's better for you. Only $6 more. I'll finish it. Go wash your hand. All right. Thanks, Tammy. Oh, wait. Hold on. This one here is a little bit crooked. See that? No, honey, that your finger. Do like that. Funny, because my finger didn't do like that before I came in here. It's okay, honey, don't worry, I fix it for you, don't worry. Oh, she said you look so pretty.
Did you girls like that? Yeah, it's good to laugh, huh? It's good to laugh. It's medicine. A merry heart is like medicine to the bones. And you know what? And there's nothing religious about that. There's nothing spiritual, but it's good for you. It's good because it makes you laugh. Made me laugh. I like to watch it. You know, I watch it all the time because it's so funny. She's so good. And she makes fun of Latinos, too. She says that we hit all our kids. But she's so funny. You can always look on her, you know, if you want to see more of her YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. So you could get that. So anyways, God is good. I just have, you know, and we need to laugh. We need to be around people that make us laugh. And we need to. I like to look, you know what, I like to look at the funniest home videos because there's those, sometimes those are real funny too. And just, you know what, good comedy, just, you know, we got to laugh. But anyways, quickly we're going to be closing and we only have a few more minutes and then we're going to let you go out to the hot dogs. But before we do, I just wanted to go over the 7 things that we've been going over every week that Pastor Deborah started and how do I get free of these hindrances? And I already mentioned some of how, you know, so I'm going to be repeating some of these, but just really quick, we got to face it. Don't be in denial anymore. Face if you have depression, low self-esteem, perfectionist, any of these things, strongholds in your life, you need to face it and you need to deal with it. You need to forsake it. You need to repent from it. You need to forgive. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive others. Whoever's hurt you, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know if you're going through a divorce or a broken relationship. Forgive them. Forgive them. Don't hold on. You got to focus your mind on what? His word. Focus your mind on his word. Read the scriptures and force out the wrong thinking. You got to take your thoughts captives. All those negative thinking, those thoughts of to give up. You got to take those thoughts captive and you got to filter those thoughts through his word. And you need to be filled with the spirit. You need to be free. You need to free your heart with worship and singing. Put on the worship music. Worship the Lord and sing and know of his goodness and his mercy and how good God is. Because of Jesus, there is hope for you. Because of Jesus, you have a reason to live. So I just want to encourage you to get connected to Jesus, to continue to come to the house of the Lord. And if you are suffering from major depression, get the help that you need. And don't feel guilty if you have to take medication. Don't feel guilty, for God is with you and he loves you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up and we're going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you. We're just going to pray and break off this spirit of depression. You need to do what I've asked. If you do what I tell you to, what I said to do today, you're going to find